You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
What a fascinating Mother's Day Eve edition of Kingdom Pursuits we have for you today. Uh-oh, I lost Melissa. We have just a really interesting group of characters on today's show, but we'll start off with Michael Malvin. And Michael, we lost Michael too. Well, this happens. Sometimes phones happen, but we have a third guest with us, Corey Adams. Now, is it true, Corey? I've been wondering this ever since I've known you.
Uh-huh.
Are you really a member of the Adams family?
I think I was that a couple times for Halloween. But.
I imagine you've heard that more than once.
Yeah, absolutely.
A few times.
Just a few.
But Corey Adams is actually a good friend of mine. He is with the Masculine Journey radio show that comes on, you know, at 12 to 12:30 on this network, and we hear him regularly. But Corey is one of God's disciples that just really encourages me. Corey's going to get into his story here in a little bit, but this time last year, you were a different person.
Completely, completely different person. I would never be here. I know that.
Well, we got Melissa back, we hope, and we'll make sure here. Melissa, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I am so glad to have you. Melissa Rosenberger, she was a physician, like a doctor, like went all those years through medical school and all the stuff that went to it. And now she's a novelist. Her book is called In the Shadow of the King. And I'm excited to hear about this. We actually have one here in the studio to look at. And welcome.
Oh, good.
So can you tell us a little bit about how that happened? You went from all those years in medical school, or is there a connection there?
Yes, I had always wanted to write books when I was a little kid. I actually started writing books even, I think I was in first grade, and just loved it. And then, you know, as life goes on, sometimes our first dreams get lost, and mine certainly did. And I was saved as a child. I loved God and wanted to follow him, but after my parents got divorced, we stopped going to church, and I became a bit rebellious, and from then on, I just started doing my own thing. I wasn't following God. I wasn't listening to him. So I made different career choices and was sort of searching for, you know, fulfillment, worth, trying to find who I was, and really who we are is in Christ. And if we're not listening to him, we're not making the wisest choices. So even though I was practicing medicine and doing something that was good, it wasn't necessarily the best thing for me because I wasn't following God's calling on my life. And God, thankfully, is so faithful, and he called me back to him as an adult. And once he did that and I started getting to know him, getting to know about his goodness and trusting him more, I started remembering all those dreams I had as a child and wanting to step out on those. So it took a lot of prayer, a lot of counsel from wise people for me to finally take that step of faith and leave medicine to become a writer.
How phenomenally courageous. And, you know, a novelist, not just a writer. You know, because we're talking major imagination right here to create. And from what I understand, there's a whole series, not just, you know, In the Shadow of the King, right? Aren't you doing a series of books?
That's right. Yeah, the first book, well, the story is, for people that don't know about it, it's from the viewpoint of one of Jesus's sisters and looking at her life and how she interprets what is going on in their household. And, you know, she hears all these prophecies about her brother, but as far as she's concerned, he's, you know, just an ordinary brother who seems to get a lot of attention, who never does anything wrong. There's little little jealousy there. And, you know, she just feels like she's always overshadowed by him and wants to try and put distance between the two of them. And so the story is really about her learning who he really is. Even though she grows up with him, she doesn't really understand him.
What a fascinating... I mean, really that just makes my imagination go wild. I mean, I've thought about Jesus' brothers before, but I never thought about Jesus' sisters, because I had two sisters, and they were a pain.
Well, I think Hannah's a bit of a pain for Jesus, too.
So, rounding up our group this morning, we not only have Melissa, which you can tell that's going to be a great story as we hear more about In the Shadow of the King, but we have Michael Malvin with us, and welcome, Michael.
Oh, hi, Robbie. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Michael is with a really, really cool program called the Small Donor Program, which they've developed a new website that allows smaller donors to have a fun new way to donate, and easy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Michael, tell us a little bit about how you came across this idea.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Well, I've been fortunate that in my life, the projects and concepts that have interested me, they've also had a component of social good. I try, just like everybody, don't necessarily always succeed, but I try to view life as an adventure with positive purpose. I've developed 1,000 units of affordable housing. It's home for 3,000 people and large renewable energy projects, enough green electricity for 50,000 homes. And I think when you do good things, you have the wind at your back, and God's breath is infinitely powerful. So the small
donor.
That's
a neat picture. You should be a novelist.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. The smalldonor.com program is an extension of what I've been doing for years, but there's more to it than that. Unfortunately, Robbie, I lost my oldest son, Darren, in a freak car accident in a heavy storm at night. It was a power failure and falling trees and lightning. It was like a scene from a horror movie. Everybody loved Darren. And there were 500 people at his memorial service, and he was out trying to help people as he always did, waiting outside in a violent storm for emergency responders, and also going door to door to inform and help his neighbors. And on that dark, stormy night, he was hit by a car and died instantly. So he gave his life trying to help people. So this project was conceived to honor and continue my son's spirit of helping people and making the world a better place.
Wow. You know, I've been talking to Michael for a couple of weeks, but I did not know that aspect of the story. But again, the website's called thesmalldonorprogram.com. If you go to Kingdom Pursuits, by the way, at Kingdom Pursuits, we've got obviously links to Masculine Journey Radio, which we're talking to Corey. And if you want to, if you're interested in Melissa's book, which I'm extremely interested in, now that I'm hearing it's about Jesus' sister, that's really cool. KingdomPursuits.com, and of course, links to the smalldonorprogram.com. But
Robbie, excuse me. I just wanted to say one thing. It's actually just three words, thesmalldonor.com.
Well, I am glad you said that so that nobody got confused. And the link is right at Kingdom Pursuits, but I wrote one too many words out this morning. It's thesmalldonor.com. So when we come back, we're obviously going to hear a lot more about the Small Donor Program and the novel In the Shadow of the King. And Corey, we got your story coming up. What you're going to hear is another miraculous transformation, right?
I don't know. Compare with these two, I'm not sure.
But, well, it's going to be amazing. I'm very, very excited. And we haven't even got to my riddle, which may be, in my opinion, which is always high of my own humor, the funniest riddle I've ever written. So you don't want to miss this. It's all coming up when you come back. Kingdom Pursuits. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom, and we got such poster children for that today. We really do. As we have Melissa Rosenberger. Wow, I'm so excited about hearing about her novel, In the Shadow of the King, spoken about through the eyes of Jesus' sister, and Corey Adams with Masculine Journey Radio, and Michael Malvin with The Small Donor .com. So, without further ado, because I know you're anxious to hear it, speaking of small. Are you ready for this, Michael?
Okay. I got one after your riddle. I got one for you, Robbie.
Even the smallest egg farmers, even the smallest egg farms are multi-layer operations. I don't know if you thought about that.
Hey, that's pretty good.
And my small friend always argues that vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry are the three best ice cream flavors. I think he has a Neapolitan complex. And, yeah, I got Jasper with that one. And for the woman who wore size 13, finding shoes that fit was no small feat.
Oh, that's great.
And my favorite of this bad humor today, which I actually think is hilarious, a small shrub clinging to the walls of the Grand Canyon. Have you thought about what that might be called? A small shrub. Really, you think about your brain now. A small shrub clinging to the walls of the Grand Canyon. That's a gorge bush. What do you think, Melissa? Is that at least funny?
Pretty good.
It's a gorge bush. All right.
That's good. Hey, Robbie.
So you knew at the end of all those shenanigans, I'd actually have a riddle. You could call in and win today on this Mother's Day edition. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. If you can tell me which small man, because we're talking small today, small man in the Bible was not stumped, but clearly was barking up the right tree. He was going out on a limb, branching out, trying to take root. Finally, I'll tell you, he did get spruced up. Which small man in the Bible am I referring to? And if you can call in at 866-348-7884, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win either tickets to the Winston-Salem Dash Game on Thursday, May 23rd, or a copy of our guest's book, The Shadow of the King.
There you go. It's going to be a package deal. Because there's probably not more than one answer. But if you've got another answer, we would love to hear it. But probably most people are going to think of one particular man, and he was we. 866-348-7884. You get not only the Dash tickets, but In the Shadow of the King. I wish I could guess because I want the book. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. So, Corey.
Yep.
Getting back to you, the Masculine Journey, you got invited to a boot camp last November.
Absolutely.
Share with our listeners what happened.
So it was pretty much the lowest point of my life. I was coming off of a divorce and just really had hit rock bottom. And I was actually going to quit my job, which is probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me, my job. And my boss, he pulls me aside and he said, I really want you to go to this boot camp. I think it'd be great for you. He paid my way. He paid $200 for me to go, and changed my life. I don't want to say I was an atheist, but I was a non-believer before I went. And
well, it was a beautiful thing. Cause I remember Corey coming in the first night. He sat down at the dinner table with me and I'm like, man, this guy looks upset. I didn't know why he was upset. Why were you upset, Corey?
Cause I literally knew nobody there. Like Brian, my boss, like the only person I knew, that was going to be there ended up not going in the last minute. And so I was just in this strange place in the middle of Davie County with no one I knew. And I just didn't want to be there. I didn't really know what I was there for, but I had a semblance of an idea. And I came to find out I had no idea what I was in for.
I love what your mother asked you. Or tell us about the conversation with your mother when you were going to go.
My mom was like, I'm so happy that you're going. You know, I've prayed for this for so long. And I look at the trial. I was like, I don't want to go. I was like, it's not going to make any difference. You know, I still don't believe in any of this. So, you know, there's no point.
Right. So we're going to leave Corey there as an unbeliever for a minute and move on, because we've got so much to cover today. But we're going to get back to Corey's story a little bit later. So moving back to Jesus' sister, Melissa, through the novel, how far does it, or I guess that's why you're doing a series, because you're going to carry on with her from the point that Jesus was born for, or how old is the, what's the difference in age between the girl and Jesus? That's an interesting question.
When the book starts, Jesus is just about 12 years old, and Hannah is about 8.5 years old. And then the brothers that are referenced in the Gospels, they're all younger siblings after Hannah. So the book follows her story all the way up through the point where Jesus is crucified. And then she's sort of left in some dire circumstances at the end of the book and gets news that he's alive. And so that's when the next book will pick up.
Wow. And, you know, I think it did say in the Gospels, but I'm having to check my own understanding. It did say he had brothers and sisters.
There were a couple of scriptures throughout the Bible. When Jesus came to Nazareth and spoke in the synagogue, someone in the crowd said, "Isn't this just Mary's son and the brother of," and then lists James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and says, "Aren't his sisters here with us?" So that's where I had the sister idea. But there's many places that they're mentioned. His family actually goes to Capernaum because the Bible says that they thought he was out of his mind. So they went to Capernaum to find out what he was doing and to try and stop him. And there's this great moment when they're trying to get into the house to see Jesus, and there's a big crowd, and someone says, "Oh, your mother and your brothers are outside." And Jesus says, "Who are my mother and brothers? They're those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So there was definitely some family drama in the family, because they did not understand what was going on, you know. And I think a lot of us, we have expectations of God, and when he doesn't sort of live up to what we think he should be doing, we get a little confused sometimes. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm excited to hear about it. Well, we have Paula in Greensboro's got an answer for us on who this Woody character is in the Bible. But actually the small man in the Bible who wasn't stumped. Paula, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you.
So who are you thinking this might be?
I was thinking it was Zacchaeus.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about how spruced up he really got? I'm just saying.
I'm sure he was very spruced up.
That's absolutely wonderful. You're exactly right. Enjoy those. Both. I'm kind of jealous that you get that book and a chance to watch The Dash all at the same time. Thanks for calling in today. God bless.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we also have Todd in Walkertown. And Todd, I hope you're still with us.
I am. Good morning.
I am so excited to hear. You may have another version of this, but of course you may not. So I'm anxious to hear what your answer is.
Oh, it was Zacchaeus all the way.
It was Zacchaeus all the way?
Yeah.
I think so too. Did you think of any other puns that I left on the table?
I did it, but it wouldn't be a bad thing if you repeated those, because my kids groan at all my dad jokes. So, yeah, I need more.
Okay, well, here I will say it one more time. Which small man in the Bible was not stumped, but was clearly barking up the right tree, going out on a limb, branching out, trying to take root, and finally he did get spruced up. So, good job. Thank you, Todd.
Love it. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Have a great day.
You too. So, Michael, we haven't got to you yet in this segment. It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
So what you've discovered, and I think it's so true, is that a lot of people are small donors, but yet it's really important that they have a chance to give too, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Robbie. Our goal is really to enable regular everyday people that don't have $1,000 to give to a charity to be able to do a lot with a small donation. Until now, there really hasn't been a donation platform that meets the needs of small donors. If you wanted to donate $25, you had to find a charity, log on to their website, register, get passwords, and remember it every time you log in. And they're not user-friendly, and it's very complicated. And you can't give to more than one charity at a time. And the smalldonor.com does away with all these hassles and adds some fun new elements. Really excited about the fact that it really is a new and better way to donate, and lets people get a lot more out of their donation than they previously could. And one other thing I'd like to say, and I'd also like to thank you for your help, Robbie, is that in addition to focusing on helping small donors, we also have a focus on helping small charities. The Red Cross and the Heart Association, they're great organizations and they do great work. They already have multi-million-dollar marketing budgets. We also want to help connect small donors to small, worthy charities that need exposure and don't have a big marketing budget. And I'd like your listeners to know that I asked you to recommend three Christian charities that you thought were worthy, and your suggestions totally captured the essence of the kind of charities we're trying to help.
Well, we are going to get, I hate to cut in on you, Michael, we got to go to another break. We're going to talk about those charities. We got more on In the Shadow of the King. We got more from Corey. We haven't gotten nearly the best part of his story yet, so stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have with us Corey Adams with Masculine Journey Radio, one of the charities that's on the smalldonor.com that Michael was talking about, as well as Slow Missionary Homes and the Jesus Labor Love, which is part of the Christian Car Guy show. You may know they're all there on what Michael described, and that's the reason why we have Corey on with us today. And then we have Melissa Rosenberger and her novel, which sounds absolutely fascinating, In the Shadow of the King. If you go to kingdompursuits.com, there you're going to see the link to the smalldonor.com, and as well as Masculine Journey, of course, their boot camps and all that kind of stuff, and Melissa's books right there, and a little bit about her story, and you can order the book right there at kingdompursuits.com. So, getting back to our hero, Corey, as he was, right? He was at the boot camp.
Yeah.
He thought it was stupid.
Absolutely.
And so you sit down to the stupid thing.
Who is this guy that's laughing and smiling at me and won't leave me alone named Robbie?
So what was that?
The boot camp.
Yeah.
So I went to this boot camp, and like I said, I'm there. I'm a non-believer. I don't want to be there. But, you know, what the boot camps do that I think is so unique – and really is what I needed is it's not so much, you know, you're not going there to get preached to. It's guys that you can relate to, people who are going through the same struggles that you're going through every single day, who feel the same feelings that you're feeling, but it's just explaining them and explaining how to take those problems and those issues, that you've dealt with your whole life, to God, and really peeling back those layers, of yourself as a man, and how to deal with some of the issues that are, you know, troubling you and keeping you from God. And, you know, some of the things that I blamed on God, you know, dealing with those issues and really finding your inner truth.
Tell our listeners a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
your childhood was a little bit disconcerting. You didn't even know who your dad was.
Right. When I was 13 years old, and I found out that, you know, the dad that I had known my entire life as my dad really wasn't my dad, biologically, and that, you know, I've never met my biological father. You know, he split when he found out my mom was pregnant. And I just internalized that as a 13-year-old. You know, when you're 13 years old, when you hear that, your brain can't really process it to, you know, what may have been going on. It just my brain processed, well, he didn't want me.
Right.
And it turned it around onto the dad that had been raising me my whole life as, well, he probably doesn't love me as much as he loves my brother because I'm not really his. And so my whole life, it's always been, I'm not good enough for anything, you know, people, jobs, school, just, it just, and sent me down these wrong paths of always seeking people's constant approval, but in the wrong ways. So,
and even the relationship with your brother was,
right,
you know, a critical relationship for you, but difficult.
Absolutely. And, you know, with him, with my brother, it's, well, if, you know, if he thinks that, you know, if he finds out that I'm not really, you know, his true blue, like full brother, we're only half brothers, that, you know, he won't love me as much as, you know, we wouldn't be as close as we were. So, I mean, it really just, you know, the enemy weaved his spell on my entire life with, and relationships, and, you know, really got my train of thinking into this just warped sense of never being good enough for anybody or anything until I came to the boot camp. And, you know, my whole life I'd looked at God as something like this, you know, mean old man up in the sky who doesn't want you to have any fun and just be, you know, just do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And it wasn't until I got to the boot camp, and then, you know, shortly after the boot camp, that I really realized, you know, God is just love. And I finally felt that sense of love that I'd been craving my whole life. I finally felt good enough. And, you know, it's just, I get chills thinking about it, you know, going back to those days. And when that feeling first struck, when, you know, God first spoke to me, you know, and told me I was good enough, and, you know, that I'm his son and I'm loved. It was amazing.
It was. And I actually witnessed, you know, there were prayers that were spoken over Corey that seemed to come from nowhere, that were spoke right to his issues, that were done by Darren and other people at the boot camp. And
It
was so inspiring, because for those of us there, Corey wanted to be baptized in the lake there at the boot camp, in the mud up to there.
I think that was more Darren. Darren was like, no, we got to do it authentic. We got to do it in the lake. I was like, it's like 40 degrees outside, guys. But I wasn't going to say no. So I still have that video. But, you know, if for anybody who doesn't know what the masculine journey is, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, since that first boot camp, it's just been, I've just been passionate about, you know, trying to reach people who are like me, who, you know, that don't necessarily need, you know, to be preached to be a believer. I know that there's so many people out there like me that want to be saved, and, you know, that want to come to God, but they just get it in the wrong ways. They get preached to in the wrong ways. They get, you know, their family pushing them in the wrong ways. You know, not everybody is like that. And, you know, some people are like me, and they want the message, but they just don't know how to receive it, and they don't know how to hear it. And they can't relate to people. And so that's what my passion is with the masculine journey, is just reaching people out there who, you know, maybe the oddballs who, you know, church people would probably like not want around, but.
And, you know, I'll never, ever forget that, you know, we had this experience, and Corey was just saying, wow, I just don't want to lose this. I don't want, you know, this was there at the boot camp. And so he came back to do the radio show a week later.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, what translation of the Bible do I get, Robbie? You know, his questions were, he became a disciple just immediately. And it was so obvious, a fruit of what God was doing in his life. And I know, Melissa, as you're listening to that, you're thinking, wow, I hope my book, and we pray that your book will have that kind of impact on somebody who really doesn't know about Jesus, but picks up the story just because of your fabulous, you know, imagination.
Well, that's, as Corey was speaking, I was just thinking how good God is. And that's really what I try to weave throughout the book, is that we can trust that God is who he says he is. I think sometimes we get caught up in our like traditions, or, you know, even religious beliefs that aren't true to who God says he is. And it's so important to go back and see that God is a good God. He's a loving God, and he wants to be a loving father. You know, I'm sure Corey realized that, and Michael, when he shared about his loss. You know, we can take the pain in our lives and use it as an excuse to turn away from God, or we can just turn to him because he loves us so much. And so that's like part of the story in the book, is how the main character, Hannah, how she deals with loss. And unfortunately, she doesn't do it the healthy way. She tries to fix things on her own and take things into her own hands. And so the book's really an invitation to really just trust that God is who he says he is, that he does love us and he wants what's best for us, and he's a good father.
Well, just my imagination, Melissa, just goes wild. It really does, because I think about that moment where Jesus' sister, right? Just where Jesus' sister realizes, my brother is God.
Yes. It's awesome to think about. Well, I still wonder, you know, when did Jesus know everything that he knew? What did he dream about when he was here? And he was a man, but he was also the Word made flesh. I mean, it's just...
But not only that he was God, but that he loves me as a brother. I mean, like, what a fascinating thought to be Jesus' sister and to feel the love of Jesus, but also to feel the love of the super brother that, I mean, obviously,
yeah.
Oh, man, just what a brilliant concept for a novel. I just am blown away. And, Michael, as I was right where Melissa was thinking about at the loss of your son, how God has given you stuff like the smalldonor.com in order to find ways to bring good out of bad.
Yeah, that's just exactly right. You know, with your cooperation, God can create good things from bad things. I love what Corey and Melissa's stories are about. I relate to that so much. And, I don't know if you have to go now, but, you know.
We're not going for good. We still have one more segment.
Okay.
But,
we've
got a lot more that we got to cover, so stay tuned. You can tell we're loaded for bear today on this Mother's Day Eve edition of King of Pursuits.
Great.
Welcome back to King of Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as you could tell, we're seeing a poster children for that, as always, as God provides a wonderful guest for us here on Kingdom Pursuits. Again, today's Michael Malvin, thesmalldonor.com, Melissa Rosenberger, her novel In the Shadow of the King, and Corey Adams, Masculine Journey Radio, of course, all available at kingdompursuits.com. Now, I should tell you that at the end of this segment, which is only a six-minute segment, so it's a little bit shorter, I have a special Mother's Day treat for me, which is my mother, who passed away in 2016. Oh. And she told a story on the air one time of how my bacon was saved when I was in the womb. And then I recorded Encouraging Prayer, which comes on right after Kingdom Pursuits. And when James Banks told this story, I went, oh, my goodness, my mom had such a... What a coincidence. So I want to share that story at the very end of this segment, which gives us only about 4 minutes. So I'm going to jump in with Michael and say, Michael, what did you want to make sure that we got said today about the smalldonor.com that we have not said?
Well, thank you, Robbie. This is actually almost more about life and what you were saying about how God directs you, and Corey and Melissa, I mean, those are inspiring stories. You know, one of the questions I think a lot of people have that I always have too, as someone who thinks about all this, is like, why do bad things happen to good people? And I never liked that question, because to me it's like a negative inference about God. It's like God owes you something he didn't deliver on, and I think that's terrible. But, you know, you could say if God is so compassionate, how could he let my oldest son, who was the embodiment of goodness, be killed in a freak accident while he was helping people? And I have to admit that at first, in addition to the grieving, I really was so disappointed that, quote, God let this happen. And the thing that scared me the most was that my faith was temporarily diminished, and when you have it and then don't have it, you feel so totally alone. But somehow the loss of my son... good things coming from bad things. It made me realize that God's not here to make everybody's life perfect. If that was the case, this place would be called heaven and not earth. And if we expect our life to be perfect, we'll have to wait till we get to heaven. And God's here to help you through tough times, comfort you, inspire you, maybe sometimes throw in a miracle or two. So thank you, Robbie.
Yeah, and he's teaching us and fitting us for heaven, so to speak. And Melissa,
yep.
In about the minute that we got left before I have to go to this soundbite, what would you like to tell folks about your book that we didn't get said today?
Well, I just think that it's a great way to bring the Bible to life. And it, if anything, I just hope that it would draw people back to the Word and back to God and to think about God in new ways. And if there's anybody who even has a dream in their heart that something they feel led to do, I would just encourage people to really trust God and step out and ask Him how to accomplish that dream, because He put those dreams inside of us.
Wow. And, you know, I would point out that this is a whole series coming. I'm very excited about your next book, and I would love to have you back after you do that to see where we're going here, because your imagination is, I can see why God put it on your heart to be a writer. Wow, what a gift to the
cool.
body of Christ to have such wonderful thinking. And Corey, we got a boot camp coming up November 7th through the 10th. Encourage some moms out there. How could they pray for their kids?
You know, pray for your kid, you know, to give them the strength to take that step out and, you know, maybe do something they're uncomfortable with and push them there. Maybe pay for their boot camp.
Well, speaking of moms, I got to play the soundbite from my mom to set up an encouraging prayer that's coming. So, you know, my mom's in heaven looking down, smiling on us right now. And we got my mom on the line, so I know she's got a mountain road story we got to hear. Hi, Mom, you're on the Christian Car Guy Show.
Good morning. I've been over Donner Pass and Berthoud Pass in the snow, but the worst experience I ever had was going from our home in Pocatello, Idaho, down the switchback road to church one Sunday night. Your dad went ahead to be the choir director at church, and I didn't know that after he left, the snow was melting. It was like in April, and there was black ice. And when I got to the top of this road that was a switchback with no guardrails, I saw police lights at the bottom. So what do you do when you see police lights? You put on the brakes. Bad idea. I completely rotated the car, an old 40-something Buick, four times going down that road.
Was I in the car?
Yeah, I was pregnant with you.
Oh, well, I was definitely a rider.
And I would go off towards the edge, and I could look down and see the houses at the bottom of the mountain. And then I would swirl back and get back on the road, and then I'd turn around again. And I just took my hands off the wheel, and I said, God, I got two babies back home, and I'm carrying one. This is your car. And I ended up facing back up the mountain in a snowdrift.
Wow.
And this state patrolman came over to me. Maybe it was a city policeman. Said, roll down your window. And I did. And he said, get the H out of here before somebody hits you coming down. Your dad said he saw me come in the back door of the church. And I was white as a ghost. And he said, I wonder how bad she smashed it up. But I didn't. I wasn't hurt, and the car wasn't hurt, and I didn't hurt anybody. And
well,
I thanked God profusely that night at church.
And right now I am too, Mom, because I'm thinking this show wouldn't be on today.
No.
Eddie, not, but that's awesome.